Listeners of The Occult Unveiled, Ashley and I want to thank you for being with us since the series started. We want to keep producing shows for a very long time, and in order to keep them coming, I'm asking you to consider pledging to our Patreon and becoming part of a magical community. There are all kinds of cool perks on there, and you'll be able to help us with a small monthly pledge. You'll get advanced releases, bonus material, and most importantly, help our magical community grow. Please visit us at patreon.com/theoccultunveiled. The Occult Unveiled does not specifically endorse any medical claims made on the show, and listeners should consult a medical professional before making any informed decisions about their health.
I've always accepted parts of myself that I think people reject. So, for example, I've always been okay with my draw to magic, my draw to leaving the church, my draw to being a very powerful woman, my draw to being pretty unstoppable. And, you know, I've never had trouble with that. Santa Muerte has helped me become more powerful.
Hello, mystics. I'm Ashley Ryan, and welcome to The Occult Unveiled. I'm excited to welcome our new sponsor, Blessed Be Magic, creators of minimalist yet elegant jewelry for the everyday witch. Stay tuned, dear listeners, for a special discount code from Blessed Be Magic just for you. And remember, our Q&A submission form is open. And if you're a patron of ours, your questions get priority. This week, I am honored to bring on Valeria Ruelas, known as the Mexican Witch and author of The Mexican Witch Lifestyle, Brujeria Spells, Tarot, and Crystal Magic. Welcome, Valeria. I start off all of our episodes with a tarot reading. Would you be interested?
Absolutely. I love the tarot.
All right. So today I'm going to be using the Rider-Waite deck, and we're going to be doing a past, present, and future pull. In your past, we have the Strength card reversed, and this indicates an issue with being vulnerable. We may have also fallen out of contact with spirit in the best way that we usually communicate. We see the woman putting her hand in the lion's mouth. So allowing spirit to flow through us is definitely something that you've had to learn in the past and hopefully you've overcome. In your present, oh, the Hanged Man. Now, when this card comes up, you've got two major arcana cards. A lot of people get confused when they see this card because they're not sure what's going on, who hung up this person. And the truth is you did. You have a decision you have to make that maybe you don't know what the best outcome is, but everything has pros and cons. And what's important is to assess and then make the decision. Remember that you are a victor, not a victim of circumstance. You are in control of your life. And then your future card, the Three of Wands. Oh, this is wonderful, showing that you will get off that cross and move into the beautiful, bright future. The roads are open to you and possibly a new creative project on the way.
Nice.
Do you have another project that you're working on?
I always like to tell people one thing. I actually don't want to write another book for a while because this one, it took me so long to put it out. It was a long, drawn out process of about 2 years through the pandemic to get it out. So as far as like writing projects, I have put a pause on the witchcraft related writing, but I'm super excited because I actually have two careers and I'm launching an in-person business. So I will finally be having it's a skin studio, but I'm also going to read tarot cards there and combine witchcraft and aesthetics. And so that's my biggest project that I have. And of course, I'm excited about that and just continuing to travel with the book and to spread the word, you know.
Yes, that's really cool that you're bridging those two interests together. That's really exciting. And that kind of leads into the question I wanted to start with. What does it mean to live a brujería lifestyle? What is that?
That is about doing magic spells and tarot almost every day. So the main point that I like to make to people is that you can learn to do all of the spells, all of the recipes for different spell work tools, the even some of the little worship practices that are in there. You can learn it and then do it every day. And then your life becomes better. And yeah. I wanted people to understand that there's nothing harmful about brujería, that there's nothing harmful about Santa Muerte, that there's nothing harmful about the types of magic, which I do, which comes from the indigenous cultures of Mexico.
You're right. And, you know, I think that's something that people don't understand is that when they hear the word bruja, a brujería, they think dark magic, and that's not what it is at all. But what would you say to people who say that, oh, but in my home country, and all the people who do brujería are evil, they do evil magic? What would you say?
I would say you have a little bit too many superstitious religious people around you and you haven't released that yet. You know, for me, I understand why some people may have encounters with evil or bad brujas because they exist and I've had encounters with them. There are people out there who definitely are not the best people, but just like there is good Republicans and good Democrats, there is good and bad witches, and there's good in all of us. And so for me, I try to bring forth this idea that brujería in general is more positive than it is negative. And so you have those, like, those couple of losers who want to be mean and who want to just have that awful power. And most of us in the community are now just devoted to healing or giving readings.
Oh, that's beautiful. I agree with you. I think that you had the perfect metaphor there with, like, good and bad political sides of things. That's very, very cool. In my practice, it's really important that we practice every day as well, because that keeps us connected to spirit. So I completely resonate with what you said there.
Oh my God, that's exciting. And I am really happy to be teaching this stuff to just everyone. The book, it says, you know, the Mexican witch lifestyle, but you definitely don't have to be Mexican to pick it up. I wrote it with the intention of everyone learning the Mexican witchcraft with respect so that you could walk into a business, a botanica, yerbería. Those are our stores, our witchcraft stores. We do have our specific names for them. And that's because obviously brujería has been around for about, I would say, 1,000 years, if not more. And so, like, it's gone through its many evolutions. And now it's just something you see, for example, in Los Angeles. If you just go to any neighborhood in Los Angeles, you are going to find brujas and brujería. Mm-hmm. You're going to find that in New Orleans. You're going to find it in New York, Nueva York. And this is because of the migration of people who speak Spanish. The migration of people descended from Africa as well, and all the African traditions of brujería. So there's just, like, a lot of, oh my God, I'm excited to be a part of this world and to be able to bring forth the Spanish words, the correct terms, and to be able to introduce people to that, because it is kind of cool, like, if you speak only English and then you start to learn a little bit and you dive and all of a sudden you know a little bit of Spanish. Because
right.
I the book.
I try really hard because I grew up around a little bit of brujería, mostly hoodoo. I'm from Florida. So I would always go to the botanica. And when I came to Los Angeles, I'd ask, like, you know, ¿dónde está la botanica? And all my white friends were like, do you mean an occult store? And I'm like, yes and no. But it's a family thing where I am from. It's generally passed down through the maternal line. Is that the same thing with you? Did you learn through a maternal line?
Yes. My mother identifies as a curandera.
Curandera, a female folk healer who treats ailments arising from physical, psychological, or spiritual conditions.
So she is devout to the Virgin Mary of Guadalupe, and she practices curanderismo. Her and my great-grandmother, it skipped my grandmother for whatever reason. But then luckily my mom kept it around and she cures babies. they call her to cure babies. Because apparently, like, babies get, I know nothing about children, but apparently babies get, like, little tummy aches and stuff. And so she's always been called, people will call her to make herbal beverages. And she calls them purgas. And they're just really, really strong. And so, like, I grew up taking these medicines when I was young. I grew up with some funny stuff. Like, the candles were always around. The spells were always around. Mm-hmm. Statues of things were always around. And in general, I never, ever doubted the spirit world. So you'll probably sort of feel that if you're taught from the maternal line. Mm-hmm. And my paternal line passes it down as well. My father passes down a lot of curanderismo knowledge. So I'm the only one that's been chosen to go through the Santa Muerte line and to go through the, what I would call the more brujería route. They devote themselves to strictly what they call curanderismo. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And can you explain to our audience what exactly that is in your definition?
In my personal, very personal opinion, what separates curanderos and brujas is usually brujas, brujos, brujex, you know, the gender neutral brujex. Mm-hmm. We're more open to death magic.
Death magic. Magic working with the energy of death and dying.
Death entities, specifically in Santa Muerte. And to what we would call santos that are not from the church, like Jesus Malverde. So that's what the brujería route tends to take. And usually these are people who are very, they stand middle ground with, like, do they do bad or good? They stand middle ground, you know. And my mom and my dad are both very, like, never do dark, never stand in the middle. They're just pure, very devote to their love and light lifestyle. And, you know, my mom is more of a prayer, candle kind of girl versus me. I've taken it full route into cards and into crystals, into spells. So I have a lot more abilities than my parents do. They are, like, more natural healers. Does that make sense? And
it does.
The biggest difference is that they are not devout to Santa Muerte. They are full Catholics. And then myself, I've taken the route of doing brujería because it resonates with me. And it has spoken to me since I discovered it. I have been around Santa Muerte since I was a baby. Because when I was a baby, my great-grandmother, she took me to the mercado, which is where they have the yerbería, where they have all of the witchcraft stuff. It has never left. It has been over there for over 40 years.
Wow.
And so, like, literally, I was a newborn. And I encountered Santa Muerte when I was a newborn. Now, did I know it? No, but I was being taken to the witchcraft spot, the yerbería, to the yerbero, who was very devout. And my grandma was, of course, buying stuff from him.
Great. You just, like, zipped right into the beat, like, the huge meat of this show that I wanted to talk about is, who is Santa Muerte? We see her everywhere. I know a little bit about her, knowing that she is the action of death and that she's not evil. A lot of people think because of Narcos that she's, like, this evil entity, but in fact, no, she's not. She's very compassionate, especially to the marginalized and the outcast.
Yes. You nailed her. I love that you did your research and that you actually probably looked at good people, which is why you encountered me. I'm very, very fond of the Mexican community who worships her. We have a very, very uplifting community for her. And we like to party for her. We like to organize for her. We like to, you know, in very similar fashions of how Mexicans do the tradition for the Virgen de Guadalupe. Santa Muerte is just like that, but even better because she's more miraculous. She's faster and she loves you regardless if you're Catholic or not, or don't go to the church. You know, so she's perfect for people who really are like, F the church, man.
Yeah, you know? I understand that.
You know, and that's how I am. Like, I really do not care for any of Catholicism. There are little bits and pieces of things that, like, for example, are useful. For example, my the sign of the cross prayer in Spanish is pretty powerful. And so I don't like to do it, but my mom likes to do it. So there are little things I like, right? But besides that, I go more for, again, the Santa Muerte faith, which is more open to LGBTQ people. And not only that, Santa Muerte is a big icon in the transgender community and in the LGBTQ community in general, because she is has always been open. Not only that, Santa Muerte has a transgender identity to her, if that makes sense. A lot of people will not say that because it is very bold to say that there is a goddess or a god spirit that can take a form of a certain gender. But it's very empowering, in my personal opinion, to say this truth. I believe firmly that she has many genders, just like back in ancient Mexico, there was a lot of different genders. And so that's one thing about her, why people love her. She really speaks to and sort of like connects to people that really do not see themselves within that masculine feminine, that maybe see themselves outside, or maybe they connect more to, like, you know, a spirit that they feel is not necessarily a woman or a man.
Did Santa Muerte help you accept parts of yourself?
I mean, I've always accepted parts of myself that I think people reject. So, for example, I've always been okay with my draw to magic, my draw to leaving the church, my draw to being a very powerful woman, my draw to being pretty unstoppable. And, you know, I've never had trouble with that. Santa Muerte has helped me become more powerful. You know, for me, she is great at helping you manifest. You have to be very careful with when you ask for things and how you ask for things, and she may or may not give it to you. For me right now, my personal relationship to her is I no longer ask her for anything. I worship her, meaning I still honor her every day if I can. I pray to her. I love her. But I no longer ask for things because I don't have, I'm not giving her enough, if that makes sense. Like when I had a huge altar and a huge statue and a practice that was just immensely devout to her, then I could ask her for things. And which is why I know so much about her. I've attended so many services for Santa Muerte. I've actually taught classes about her. I've done a great amount of work with her. I wanted to put words about her into the world that have not been put out yet. In my book, what I write about is like the reason that she exists as a figure is because death was always worshipped or talked about in a sacred way in Mexico. So back to the oldest recordings of history in Mexico, there is a death god or death gods, I should say, because there's multiple. And so because of that, that's why she exists. Now she's worshipped in modern ways where she's gotten mixed up with a lot of people pray Catholic prayers to her. A lot of people combine that. And that is not my style, but I do not put anyone down for what they do, because if it works for you, it works for you, right?
Yeah.
That's how I understand. I have no right to dictate how people do it. Do I provide a guide in the book? Yes, because I want people to be able to begin and trust the process. I want people to be able to be sure, and I want people to be serious about it. That's all in the book. But I also believe at some point it becomes more about you and her and what goes beyond that.
Something that I wanted to talk about was her history. So in Santa Muerte, you know, she, unfortunately, during Cortez's reign and colonization of Mexico.
Hernán Cortés, a deeply controversial historical figure who led the conquest of the Aztec Empire in 1519.
They brought over the Virgin, or the Virgin Mary, and there's an idea that there's an Aztec goddess who was kind of like diffused with Virgin Mary and gave birth to this saint. And you're saying that that's maybe right, but actually even goes farther back than that.
Yeah, so it's kind of cool because Mexico, again, has so many cool traditions that date back to when we had our origins, you know. We have our origin stories that are different than the biblical origin stories, you know. So there are still Mexicanics people out there where they literally grew up with these stories and not with the church. So like this faith, again, I will say, like the traditions are similar to what they used to be in the past, with La Virgen de Guadalupe, they even still do like the dancers inside her temple with a lot of drums and on full moons and stuff. So like they're still doing aspects of traditional indigenous magic even within that. There's a cool story about Juan Diego, who is a figure in the indigenous community, who the Catholic Church does involve in their sort of folklore, if that makes sense, or in their accepted folklore around Mexico. So I believe in that stuff. I believe in Juan Diego. I believe in the Virgen. I've seen her. She is very miraculous as well. Mm-hmm. I've seen her in a hospital, actually. My friend was very sick and he was being prayed for and La Virgen showed up behind him. It was my first apparition. I was a child. Oh, my God. And so, all of that exists in Mexico. People see Jesucristo, Jesus, or the Virgen in, like, signs. We believe a lot in signs. Like, we're always seeing her in the clouds.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people see her in their coffee, like, stuff like that. So, that's the kind of stuff that I know about La Virgen de Guadalupe. I also do not like the term Aztec, and I don't use it because the correct term is Mexica. And then there is other words for other tribes. Aztec was the word that got created by Americans for indigenous folks. It sort of puts all indigenous folks under one label, which we do not have to do. I encountered the number 180 something tribes in Mexico.
Wow.
You know, so like still the bloodlines there are very, very diverse. There's a lot. Even me with my lineage, like I'm still discovering the tribal lineage for myself. Mm-hmm. So it's a complex process of tracing stuff down and everything has been influenced, you know? So that's why it's important to define your own process in the work. It is important for people to seek out indigenous wisdom holders because
I agree.
That's the best way to go about furthering your knowledge past what I know. I made this clear in the book. I am very gifted at natural magic. I'm very gifted at psychic magic. But one thing I struggle with is spiritual magic. I don't like it too much. You know, the worship of spirits, certain things like that. It's just not my avenue of expertise. I used to do mediumship and I also do not like it anymore.
Mediumship, psychic communication with the deceased or spirits on another plane of existence.
I'm a good medium. I just don't want to pursue it anymore.
I understand. You know, so we grow and we discover that things that we may have been interested in don't interest us anymore. And that's okay. That's part of the growth.
Merkaba, what does it mean? It literally translates to chariot in Hebrew. This ancient symbol is rooted in Jewish mysticism and used to contemplate upon as a vehicle or chariot to ascension. But you can break down the name even further. Mer, light, ka, spirit, ba, body. The Merkaba is said to provide protection and transport your consciousness to higher dimensions. You can activate this vehicle of light around your body with practice meditation and breathing techniques. My Merkaba necklace from Blessed Be Magic is a beautiful piece, not only to wear, but to contemplate. I love that I can feel its high vibrational power around my neck. Celebrate your spiritual beliefs and your magical journey with Blessed Be Magic's minimalist jewelry for powerful witches. With over 1,000 five-star reviews, it's not hard to see why witches everywhere are obsessed with Blessed Be Magic's minimalist jewelry for powerful witches. Visit blessedbemagic.com, that's magic spelled with a K at the end, and use the code TOU15 for 15% off your first order with them. Visit blessedbemagic.com to add elegance to your everyday magic. And tag me, Pythian Priestess, in your selfies wearing Blessed Be Magic. I can't wait to see which pieces you choose.
Do you do any mediumship?
Actually, it's funny you say that. I'm teaching a class on mediumship tonight.
Oh, I love that. And it's a fascinating subject. But for me, I just like, you know, when you're an expert, see, you teach mediumship. I know what I can teach and you know what you can teach, right? Mm-hmm. I love that in the witchcraft community. Like I have my people I go to for astrology because right. I'm still a student in astrology. And
me too.
There are certain folks where I'm like, these are my people. That's who I go to. And the same with mediumship, you know, like I think it's fascinating.
Yeah, there's so much to learn. And there's like, you know, when I was reading your book, so I go to Mexico once a year. And I go down, there's a botanica that I frequent. It's dedicated to Jesus Malverde.
Jesus Malverde, and, yes!
And when I was there, I was so drawn to this obsidian dagger. And I was so obsessed with it. And I was like, oh my God, how am I going to get this back into the United States? Like, they're not going to let me. And I actually, because it was crystal, it didn't even show up on Yay. Any of the scans. But I know in your book, you talk a lot about how obsidian daggers are very special. Would you share with our audience what they used for?
Yes. And then can I read a little tiny passage from the book? Is that okay?
I would love that. Please.
Yes. So with the obsidian dagger, one small tip I like to tell people, keep it concealed in a very nice velvet or silky faux silk kind of pouch, because it really will just preserve the good energy in there. Mm. It's a really nice little detail for the obsidian. And then use it to scrape objects that are soft, like the couches. And use it to scrape. You cannot cleanse enough, in my personal freaking opinion.
I agree. You gotta clean
so
it every day.
And so I'm just like, cleanse your pillows. Cleanse your freaking head with that thing. Like, rub it on your hair. In the book, there are rituales. Limpias that you can do that are kind of full on rituals with the knife. And then also I will show you a ritual in which you can make your knife special to you, where you name the knife. So it's kind of a really cool thing. Check it out in the book. The book, the best place to buy it is on the website, Simon & Schuster, or from a small business owned, locally owned bookstore. So thank you for carrying the book. Like, that was a great way to meet you guys and to be involved in the podcast and to really just, you know, this is, I think, the first time I'm really discussing the book per se in like a big way, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I loved, so I've always been interested in brujería because I grew up around it.
Yes.
And one of the things that one of my first boyfriend's moms did to me was huevos de limpia.
Yeah.
And that was so wild. This woman's like rubbing an egg all over me. And I was like, whoa, what is happening?
Limpia de huevo, a tradition in Latinx culture that can be translated to egg cleansing. The egg is believed to remove dark and dense energies from one's aura.
In your book, you describe that the egg, now is the egg, it's taking the negative energy. Is that like a life for life kind of exchange, or what's going on there?
So nothing about the life exchange, you know, that the egg is going to be there regardless. You're actually, the egg absorbs anything that's negative that's going on. And the best way to do it with the limpia on yourself is to be simple about it, not overcomplicate it. You don't have to think of a mechanism for where it's going or how it's leaving you. The okay. more you can really think, my limpia helped me, the better. Because that is the simple mechanism. My limpia helped me, my limpia worked. Also, the other mechanism to make it work is throwing the egg in water to neutralize yes. and clean it. Some people do a reading, then I don't really like to do them. And then you can either flush it down the toilet, or if you really, really don't want the energy around you, like, go leave it somewhere.
Leave it outside.
Stuff like that, you know? Yeah, limpia de huevo, egg limpias. I love them because they're really good for speeding up healing. So yes. I discussed that in the book. Like, if you have a cold, do your freaking limpia because you will get over it faster. I kid you not, I can say this now because I have the goddamn vaccine. I literally thought that I got over COVID faster because, and this was before I had the vaccine, because I did the limpias. And then I got COVID again. And I did the limpias, and it just felt like it helped. Every time I did it the next day, improvement. And so was it the limpia? Was it something else? I don't know. Point is, I did the limpia.
And how many days did you do it? Because in your book, you say from 3 to 10.
So yeah, it depends. Like, for example, with the sickness, if you do it 3 times and it's a cold, you'll probably get over it in those 3 days.
Wow.
Yeah. If it's COVID, like 10 days makes sense. When you're getting rid of like traumas or what we call susto or being scared, PTSD stuff,
mm-hmm.
that's so much more complex that it could take up to 30 times depending on the person.
What? 30? Yeah. That's a month.
Well, wow. It's not even going to be a month. It's going to be longer than a month because if you're going to do 30 limpias, don't do the one every day. You know, you're going to do one to five, depending on the person, depending on who's doing it. If the curandera is doing it, you're going to cut down the time to 5, you know. If you're doing it and you're new, it's going to take time. But it really does work. It's like really simple. It's like for me, that's why, like my mom, when she cures the babies, she cures them with an egg. So I've always had the egg in my life. And every time I skimp on the egg limpia, something bad happens. So I am just like very, very keen on like, if you're going to start doing the witchcraft in my libro, man, in my book, dude, you better learn that early, like that limpia real fast. Because
so, yeah, you start. Okay. So when you take the egg, we're rubbing it all around the body, right? So we start at the head and then we go down. Is that how it works?
So you want to just basically do it by the affected area.
Okay.
For example, for a cold, you would do a full body rub maybe, but not so much the full body. You would focus on the throat. You would focus on the lymph nodes. You would focus on the head and the decongestion. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sure for like our American listeners, they're probably like, rub an egg on my face. That sounds really weird, but it does work. I've done it. I know that it works. And it's a very special kind of cleansing that I don't even know how it works. And like you said, like, it doesn't really matter how it works. The fact that it works. And did you have those done to you when you were a kid? Did your mom or your great grandma do that for you?
Oh yes. Thankfully, that is why I'm doing so well right now. You know, like I've looked back at, you know, at my journey as a witch and what's happened. And I've had a lot of really cool stuff happen. Like before I was 25, I had published my first book called Cosmopolitan Love Potions.
Yes, I've seen that one.
And it's translated into French and everything. So I'm like in France, yo. Like, and this was I was 26, I think. I'm 28 now, about to turn 29 tomorrow, actually.
Oh, happy and early birthday.
Literally before I'm 30, I got 2 freaking published books up. 2.
Amazing.
And I've done readings for celebrities. Like, I have celebrity friends. Like, it's the best. And that's all due to this magical practice and to having being born with the luck, you know. Like, in my family in general, we all are very lucky. Like, we tend to avoid, thank everyone who blesses us. Not one single person in my family died of COVID the whole pandemic.
That's amazing.
And
that's
very elderly grandparents. And so I'm thankful because, you know, even though not everyone is practicing over there, at least everyone is doing the freaking egg limpia. At least everyone. And that's why people are doing well. Because even if there's sections of the family that are either cut off or Catholic, the one thing you'll see in our family is everyone can do the egg cleanse. Everyone. Because it's just so universal over there in Mexico. I'm from a very small town. I was born in 94, you know, talking almost 30 years ago. It was a very, very small town. And that's why our magic has always, always been preserved. Over there, people see doctors, but they see herbal people as well at the same time. And so when people ask me, you know, why is this effective? Because we know how to combine things. You know, we're not dumb. We go see our doctors. We go get our medical opinions. But we do our limpias on top. You know, so that's important for everyone who's sick, everyone who is struggling with the illnesses or anything. Like, the book teaches you that.
And I appreciate you sharing that with everybody. Like, it is so special for you to open up and, you know, and you're asking for respect for those of us who are not of Indigenous descent to understand that you can do these things with respect and understanding of what you're doing.
Yeah, I just want everyone to be okay. You know, like, if anything in my book, whichever spell it is, helps you on your journey, I'm just thankful.
Yes.
Because that's the whole goal is, look, I want you to be in a good, lucky, bountiful position after you read the book.
Yes. And filled with excitement, too. That's something I felt.
Happiness, yes, of course.
So living in America, from from just my research, I understand that brujería in America is a little bit different than what's in Mexico. Do you notice a difference?
No, I really don't. No. Except for the fact that people in Mexico are much better at it. Duh. We don't have language barriers, you know? Mm. So the biggest difference is in the United States, there might be some bilingual people doing it. There might be some people doing it who don't speak any English. But what are you going to get in Mexico? Better brujas, brujos, brujex. Because they got the original knowledge. They're living there. They are not just, you know, like getting it and bringing it in. It's just there, right? And mm-hmm. with place magic, you'll understand place magic because, you know a lot about this.
Place magic, also known as sacred sites or holy places, which have the power to heal the body, enlighten the mind, and inspire the heart.
I mean, sacred sites. Like, if yes. you in Mexico, you got sacred sites to go to. It's way more powerful than maybe in the United States, where, you know, I'm trying to pull energy all the way from Teotihuacan, and I'm just, like, fucking drawing it in remotely. You know what I mean? You know, yeah, because you've different. Been to the temples, you've been to the city. You'll yep. feel this, you know, the rituals never stopped. Everyone will say, oh, everyone was slaughtered and we all mixed in. No, we didn't. No,
there
it's original traditions with the same languages that have been around for thousands of years.
That's so special.
That's the biggest difference. Also, the language. The indigenous languages are very preserved. And so, therefore, in Mexico, you're going to find people who are able to teach you in the indigenous languages. So, like, wow. again, you could take it even further. There is the, what I would call, what I do, there's the decolonized, modern, like, brujería mine, which is where I try to learn from indigenous folks only, and where my knowledge is from indigenous folks only, and my language and my dominance of the language is horrible, Nahuatl particularly. It's horrible, but I'm trying. And my spell casting abilities in terms of the magos in Mexico, you know, they used to call themselves magos as well. They did a lot of verbal spell casting. Their healings were verbal, super verbal. Even they, like, you know, you get into your trance, you do your shamanic thing, you do it's awesome. So that's the sort of stuff that I'm most into in my particular craft, like the healing chants, the words, and how to summon correctly. And again, oh my God, is it hard? Because I speak the indigenous language. It's super hard. But I've done my work. Like, I'm working on that stuff. But yeah, I would say going to Mexico is super nice because you're going to encounter a variety of people. You're going to encounter very religious older people who are talented and who do their ways. You're going to encounter new people who are like, I use the chakras.
Okay. You know, everyone's got their thing.
And then you're going to encounter people, again, people like me who are, I would say I'm a Chicana, you know, not even a Mexican-American. I mean, is that what I am technically? Yeah, I'm an American citizen and I am of Mexican descent, but I'm very, very particular of my labels. I am a Chicana. I am an indigenous person. I am not a Latina. I am not Latinx. I am indigenous descended and I have a mixed descent. But I hate that label now because the more I dive into like my traditions, the more that I can see that using labels indigenous is very important. So that not everything is so reproduced in American ways. Like, you can't,
I understand.
You can't, we can't, in my personal opinion, I'm not going to keep that going because I want to keep the knowledge within indigenous communities and I want indigenous people to get the opportunities to voice themselves. And of that's course. Why I'm so happy that I'm on this podcast, that I get to talk about my book, because I am very different than anyone you will encounter in this community. Most people will disagree with me because a lot of people are like, oh my God, you need this and you need that and this and this and this. And I'm like, you do you. I will do me my way and it works for me. And if you like it in the book, you like it in the book. If you don't like it, you don't like it.
There's not a real hegemony when it comes to magic because we're all so diverse and that's what makes it so special.
Oh yeah, I love that. It's magical.
When I read your book, I saw that you had prayers in Spanish and English. So assuming you do most of them in either the native languages you are learning or in Spanish, do you dream in Spanish too?
Honestly, I'm so weird. In my dreams, people never talk. They are so nonverbal. My dreams are always super effing trippy. They are almost always just very like, they're just not even human. I seldom see humans in my dreams. Mm-hmm. And in the and I only ever really dream about numbers. I very seldom use the word. It's super weird. Yeah, my dream world is very interesting. Anytime I can really, really wake up and remember everything, I will see, I see mostly creatures and strange, bubbly, like Pixar-like kind of landscapes. Mm. And often I'm seeing numbers.
That's pretty cool. I've never heard that before. My dreams are all over the place. I do a lot of dream work. That's something nice. I'm learning how to elevate myself into the lower astral realm. So I'm beyond just my subconscious. And I can really tell the difference because the dreams will get even more vivid. Like I'm actually awake. Like there was one time I was doing a tarot reading for someone in my dream. And I was like, hey, this is Sunday. I only do tarot on Tuesdays. I have to go now. And I woke up. I'm like, oh, I was probably doing a reading for someone in the astral when I woke up and realized like, whoops, I cut that short.
Wow.
So I have a question for you. I had an experience when I was in Mexico last year, and I would like to see if you could help me understand it a little bit better.
Yes.
So my boyfriend bought this beautiful statue of Jesus Christos, and the gentleman who was, I believe, a magician was inhaling tobacco and then was doing like a blessing around the statue before he gave it to us. What was he doing?
Wait, so did he buy a Jesus Christo, Jesus Christ, or Jesus Malverde?
No, he wanted a Jesus Christ.
Yeah, no, that's why I love Mexico, because of course that's like a Catholic thing, but then he blew tobacco on it. He was doing protection on it.
Ah.
You know, more than likely, because tobacco is so strong. It's a very strong cleanser, purger, protector. And mm-hmm. so therefore, my most logical thing I think he was doing is, one, he was also empowering it, so he didn't leave with like a dumb statue. You know, he infused it with that purity, and in his own way, you know, he probably had a spirit guide that guided him to do that. And so, he made it more protected and more powerful. And I mean, he gave it some sort of activation, whatever spirit guide he's
using.
That's
what I felt when I recorded him. He let me record him, which was so kind. And we watched that video over and over again. And I was like, I think he's doing like some kind of activation.
I love that.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I mean, my gosh, Valeria, it has been such a pleasure having you here. I'm so glad that you could share with us what brujería is and how people can be more open to learning about it and understanding it. Is there anything else that you would like to say to our listeners before we wrap up today?
You know what? I'm going to read this passage really quickly because I think it would be interesting to just finish off with a Santa Muerte thing so people know what I'm talking about. And it's not just...
I love it.
Yeah. And and the book is fun because it's almost like a good reference book for beginners because it has the crystals and the hierbas, like all the plants and how to use them. So, So I wrote the prayers with the intention of people not having to use the Catholicism to pray to her. Mm. I was like, okay, if you're not about that, then you can use these. So this is for Black Santa Muerte. It says, Black Santa Muerte, kind mother, fierce mother, fill me with your strength. Black Santa Muerte, help me be fortunate, respected, and rich. Help me defeat and dominate my enemies. Watch over me at night. Protect me from harm, violence, and hate. So yes, that's why, and it's written in Spanish so people can learn it and, you know, do you with it. But to me, that's so much more powerful than praying something Catholic.
Yeah, I write my own prayers too.
My personal opinion though, but you know, everyone do you.
Yeah, you know, you said something really interesting. In my practice, we do prayers in Latin and in Hebrew.
Oh, I love that.
Rather than in English. So I know what you mean. Like there's a special innate power with the native language.
Yes. And, you know, all of the time I was writing this book, I was reading not only reading, but divining with the text from Mexico Antiguo. I would look and seek that guide for the information to figure out stories. Like another thing I love, they would participate in the birthing, in the death ceremonies, you know, and they would also do healings. So that's why in modern day, what you find people doing, a bruja most likely is going to do those three things, most commonly readings or divining something, bones, cards, kernels, pure psychic reading, feathers, rocks, crystals, you name it. They read everything. And then spell casting and some ceremonial stuff mixed in there. And healing, lots and lots of healing.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Like you really had that full spectrum, the full array for people to be able to find what calls to them. That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
Are you excited about the future? You know, magic has become very mainstream recently. Are you feeling optimistic about the future and all the burgeoning witches and magicians?
Oh, heck yeah. I'm like, I want to walk around in a world where I literally do not see any more people that don't believe in this stuff. You know, absolutely.
Yeah,
blow it up all you want. Blow it up all you want, you know, as long as people are really being, I would say, careful. You know, even then I'm like, go on your journey, man. Go on your journey, figure yourself out. You're not getting in my way. And I am a very friendly teacher, like even to young witches who I think can make mistakes. I've made a couple of mistakes. I would say I've been fortunate not to make a lot because I'm so careful about how I do things. Like,
yeah,
I only this year learned how to cast a blockbuster. I didn't know how to do it.
Cast a blockbuster. Ooh, this is some witchy lingo. A blockbuster is a spell that destroys any obstacle in the way of achieving your goal.
Yeah. When is that blockbuster spell going to kick in for my writing? Pythian, maybe if I spent a little less time channeling you, I could finally finish that book.
Ouch! Ashley, I guess this isn't the time to remind you that I have 500,000 followers who want to learn from us.
And I never really jump at, like, being an expert at things. I'm very humble about that. You know, I'm going to be 69 before I know everything, you know, everything about brujería specifically. And so like, yeah, I mean, I think it's about learning all the time. Pick up that book, see where it takes you, find someone else. If it leads you to someone else, if it leads you to me, I am happy to teach the spell work. I'm happy to talk to you about things and people can book the tarot card sessions with me or come see me in person at my spa. And Ooh. Yeah, I mean, I literally spend like most of my time on the phone talking to people.
So where can our listeners find you? Online, in person, all that good stuff.
Yes, find me at The Mexican Witch on Instagram, at The Mexican Witch on TikTok, at The Mexican Witch on Twitter. And then I do have a booking link in my bio, like on all of those, for my Gloss Genius. And that's where you will find my beauty witchcraft specialties.
Ooh.
And then my tarot card links are there as well. So that if you want to book with me.
Wow, this has been such a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us today, Valeria. I appreciate you. And thank you again. I hope that, you know, our listeners were able to gather and absorb all this wonderful information.
Yes, I had such a fun time and I'm grateful for you and everyone participating in putting together the episode. I cannot wait to listen and share. Thank you.
And until next time, mystics, stay magical.
Yay.
The Occult Unveiled is produced by F Street Productions and Imus for Magic. Our executive producers are Ashley Ryan, Michael A. Simon, and Scott Kushner. Our show is produced by Deborah Simon. Our audio producer is Bill Schultz. Our talent booker is Perry Turcott. Laura Kaufman is our coordinator. Thank you for listening. And for more information on any of the topics you heard today, plus really cool links and ways to learn about Ashley, Pythian, and all of our guests, go to theoccultunveiled.com website. The Occult Unveiled, copyright 2023.